Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Karl Polanyi's The Great Transformation is a foundational work of political economy that asks how modern market society emerged and why it repeatedly generates social and political upheaval. Writing in the shadow of the Great Depression and World War II, Polanyi challenges the idea that a self-regulating market is a natural or inevitable outcome of human exchange. Instead, he traces how 19th century reforms in Britain and beyond attempted to disembed the economy from social and moral constraints, reorganizing land, labor, and money as market commodities. Polanyi argues that this project created extraordinary wealth and productivity while also exposing communities to insecurity, dislocation, and crisis. The book connects economic doctrines, state power, and international order, showing how policies such as free trade, the gold standard, and industrial labor markets interacted with social resistance and political reactions. It remains influential for readers trying to understand globalization, inequality, and the recurring tension between markets and democratic society. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, market society as a political project, not a natural evolution. A central theme of the book is that the modern economy did not simply grow out of human barter or spontaneous exchange. Polanyi presents market society as the outcome of deliberate policy choices that aim to create a self-regulating market system. In his account, states and elites actively redesigned laws, institutions, and incentives so that production and distribution would be governed primarily by prices rather than by custom, social obligation, or local governance. This matters because it reframes debates about capitalism. If markets are constructed, then their rules can be altered, and their outcomes are not morally neutral or historically inevitable. Polanyi highlights how the push for free markets often depended on interventionist measures, such as policing, legal reforms, and administrative capacity, even while market ideology portrayed the state as an impediment. The implication is that laissez-faire was planned, not accidental. This topic equips readers to question common assumptions about economic freedom, examining who benefits from particular rules and who bears the costs. It also helps explain why conflicts about regulation, welfare, and labor rights are not temporary distortions, but recurring features of a system built through political struggle. Secondly, fictitious commodities, land, labor, and money. Polanyi's most cited concept is the idea of fictitious commodities, land, labor, and money treated as if they were produced for sale, even though they are not. Land is nature and the ecological basis of life. Labor is human activity and social existence. Money is a social institution tied to credit and state authority. When these elements are subjected to pure market logic, Polanyi argues, society becomes vulnerable to deep harm. Wages can fall below subsistence, communities can be uprooted, and ecosystems can be degraded when land is valued only for profitability. Financial instability can follow when money and credit are forced into rigid frameworks that ignore economic realities. Polanyi uses this concept to show why a fully self-regulating market is impossible to sustain without crisis or coercion. Society cannot tolerate the total commodification of its foundations. This lens remains powerful for modern issues, such as precarious work, housing and land speculation, climate risk, and financial volatility. By emphasizing the human and ecological stakes behind abstract prices, the book encourages readers to evaluate economic policy by its impact on lived conditions, social cohesion, and long-run stability. Thirdly, the double movement, market expansion and social protection. Polanyi describes history as shaped by a double movement. One force pushes toward expanding markets into more areas of life, while a counterforce seeks to protect society from market dislocation. The expansionary side involves deregulation, commodification, and integration into wider trade and financial networks. The protective side includes labor legislation, social insurance, public health measures, tariffs, and other efforts to shield communities and national economies from instability. Crucially, Polanyi does not treat protective responses as anomalies or anti-modern reactions. He sees them as predictable and necessary because people resist when livelihoods, dignity, and local institutions are threatened. This framework helps explain why periods of intense market liberalization often provoke political backlash, new regulatory regimes, or welfare state growth. It also clarifies the contested nature of protection. Measures can be democratic and inclusive, or they can become exclusionary and authoritarian, depending on who is defended and who is blamed. The double movement gives readers a way to interpret contemporary cycles of globalization and deglobalization, as well as debates over labor standards, industrial policy, and social safety nets. It suggests that stability depends on balancing market dynamism with institutions that preserve social security and legitimacy. Fourthly, the gold standard, free trade, and the fragility of international order. Another major topic is how 19th and early 20th century international arrangements shaped domestic politics and economic vulnerability. Polanyi places special emphasis on the gold standard and its role in enforcing monetary discipline across countries. By tying currencies to gold and prioritizing fixed exchange rates, governments often subordinated employment, wages, and social programs to the demands of external balance and investor confidence. Polanyi argues that this created a rigid international order that looked stable in good times but amplified crises when shocks occurred. The attempt to preserve the system could require deflationary policies that intensified unemployment and social conflict, weakening democratic institutions and fueling political extremism. He also links these monetary constraints to broader commitments to free trade and the ideal of a world market, which could clash with domestic needs and social protection. This analysis remains relevant whenever countries face trade-offs between international credibility and internal stability, such as debates over currency pegs, austerity, and the limits of central bank independence. Polanyi's account encourages readers to see global economic rules as political choices that distribute risk, and to ask how international cooperation can be designed without sacrificing social resilience. Lastly, crisis, democracy, and the political consequences of disembedded markets. Polanyi connects economic transformation to political outcomes, arguing that when markets are disembedded from social relations, the resulting insecurity can destabilize liberal democracy. In his view, mass unemployment, collapsing livelihoods, and the breakdown of community life do not remain confined to economics. They reshape political identities, institutions, and the appeal of radical solutions. When democratic governments appear unable to protect citizens from market shocks, voters may either demand far-reaching reforms or turn toward authoritarian movements that promise order and security. Polanyi's historical narrative links the turmoil of the interwar period to the stresses created by market utopianism and the international constraints that limited policy flexibility. The broader lesson is not deterministic, but cautionary. Economic systems that ignore social needs invite political crisis. This topic helps readers understand why economic policy is inseparable from questions of legitimacy, rights, and national cohesion. It also highlights the importance of institutions that embed markets within democratic accountability, including labor protections, public investment, and social insurance. For modern readers, Polanyi offers a framework for analyzing why inequality, deindustrialization, and financial shocks can translate into polarization and institutional distrust, and why rebuilding social foundations is central to sustaining open societies. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want to understand how capitalism and modern governance develop together, including students of economics, political science, history, sociology, and public policy. It is also valuable for journalists, organizers, and professionals who sense that debates about globalization, inequality, labor precarity, and financial instability repeat older patterns. Polanyi can benefit a reader's life by providing a structured way to interpret economic headlines as part of a long historical struggle over how society should be organized. Rather than treating markets as purely technical systems, the book encourages readers to ask what institutions protect human dignity, community stability, and democratic legitimacy. That perspective can sharpen decision-making in civic life and deepen critical thinking about policy claims that present deregulation or austerity as unavoidable. Compared with many similar books, Polanyi stands out for integrating economic history with social consequences and political outcomes, offering a coherent framework that links institutions like the gold standard and labor markets to everyday insecurity and systemic crisis. It is worth buying because it remains a reference point for understanding why market reforms provoke backlash and why durable prosperity depends on embedding economic activity within robust social protections. If you would like to support Carl Polanyi, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.